Welcome to the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success with Randy Kaye, Diana Hall, and Nikki Tombolides. Our mission is to initiate conversations that enrich and empower your life. And now, today's Life Talk Show.
And the topic of today's Life Talk Show is about women, empowering women and girls, because it's March and it is Women's Month. I think every month is Women's Month.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely. We are the power.
Yes. I'm Randy Kaye here with Nikki Tombolides and Diana Hall, and we have two very special guests today, Jane Ferreira and Kathy Shaw. Jane will talk to us about Mercy Learning Center in Bridgeport, and Kathy will talk to us about our sister's place, right? Is that what it's?
Yeah.
My
sister's place in Hartford.
Yeah. So, but I just let me just start with something that Diana, you brought to me. Where did you find this song?
I looked on the internet, and I in the part of the New York Times, because I think empowering girls, let's start with girls, and
very
then
important.
We all become women.
Yep,
let's start by empowering girls. And so I just wanted to see what was out there and offered to girls.
Okay, so I guess you went on YouTube. And wait, before we play this, so I just want to say this is actually a commercial.
Yes.
By Goldie Blocks. That's cute. A toy company producing a commercial. It features three young girls. So, you know, I will say we've watched this. You've seen them at the beginning of the commercial, and we skipped past that part. They're
right.
Just sort of, you know. We have nothing against pink teacups and homemaking.
And princess names for all girls.
Right. You know, and there's nothing.
It's all good.
There's nothing wrong with that, as they say. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But as long as we can go beyond it as well and make it a choice. So this commercial was about that. So let's push play. There you go. And here's the song.
Girls build the spaceship. Girls are cool.
Wow.
Our opportunities, girls. Don't underestimate.
Catchy.
Girls. 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 Girls.
Okay, you say we're seeing, and as you watch that, we're seeing all sorts of, they're making little marble works, engineering things, and
yes.
They're inventing things. And
why not?
And why not? And,
yeah.
You know, I am a woman who... You know, when I watch historical things on TV and I realize how women have fought for so long, it's not new, to get the vote, to be in the military, to be pilots
Absolutely.
In World War II, to go to medical school. I know that we had neighbors that are now in their late 80s, and they said in World War II, like, she went to college, and that was almost unheard of. So, you know, it's been women being equal is a fight that has gone on a long time, but this is more about empowerment. So we're specifically talking about empowering women of all cultures, and sometimes when you empower a woman, you can empower the entire family, and who knows where you can go from there. So, you know, we'll be introducing our guest in just a moment. But Diana, I know you're the mother of a daughter. I'm the mother of a daughter. Nikki, I know you have mentored many girls. So if you had one message, like, what do you want? What do we want for our girls?
You know, my daughter goes to an all-girls Catholic high school, and that was a very conscious choice for me as a mother, because I went to an all-girls college. And I really think that in institutions of a female institution, it's all about the empowerment of women and empowerment of girls. And really, that's the message that I want my daughter to have, is that there's nothing that really can stand in your way. And you know, you set your mind to it, and you can do it, and
Absolutely.
You can dream, and your dreams, a famous line that was just said at the Academy Awards, your dreams are valid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for girls especially to
yep.
know that their dreams are valid, and because they're a girl doesn't mean, and I'm a mother, and I'm so happy to be a wife and a mother. But there's also other things that identify who we are, and we can make a difference in the world, and not because we're female, but because we're people.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great message.
Yeah. For me, I feel like stay in school. Stay in school, read, get into the habit of reading, stay in school, read books, read and read and read.
Okay, I think
knowledge is power, I think.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, right. Definitely. And that's really good advice. But the bottom line is that I believe that there are obstacles that can be in a woman's way, depending on the culture. Sometimes language can be an obstacle. Sometimes the person we've chosen to marry and their expectations. We all have obstacles, men or women.
Absolutely.
You know, it, I have to laugh because, you know, I grew up doing women's lib. So everything was like, prove that a woman can do anything. Give a boy a doll and give a girl a truck, which if you've raised a boy and a girl, you know that generally doesn't work.
Right.
Because the boy will go for the truck and the girl will go for the doll. Generally. But I raised my kids with that, and I wanted to be a strong role model for my daughter and, you know, work and show her that I can do it. So, and then I have a friend who's living her dream as a dancer, choreographer, and then she and I would work together on shows sometimes, and our daughters would play together. And one time we saw them in the kitchen just like pretending to bake, and we're like, what do we do?
Right out the window with
I said
that.
To my daughter, you know, so what do you want to be when you grow up? She said, I just want to stay home and bake cookies. So I'm like, well, the best laid plans of mothers everywhere. But I think it's wonderful, you know, dream big, be empowered, and yet sometimes we do live in the world we live in, and there are
Absolutely.
Things that can stand in our way. I think thankfully for this generation of girls, there is no longer a girls can't go to medical school. In fact, I think women outnumber men in medical schools.
More college.
But our first guest is going to talk to us about, and I have to say that I have met her before, and we are going to talk about the Mercy Learning Center in Bridgeport, which is very, very specific. Let me take a moment and just thank our exclusive sponsors for this show. Dynamic Printing has been so kind to us, and they do such wonderful work. They're in 91 Main Street in Monroe, Connecticut, or you can order online. Go check out what they do, dynamicprinter.com. Or a storefront you can walk into. Their prices are amazing. They do full color, black and white digital printing, single to full color. You'll hear more about them later, but we thank Dynamic Printing for sponsoring the Life Talk show, and as well, Gabriel Tax and Accounting. Tis the season.
Yes,
it is getting close to April 15th.
Oh,
so if you're like, oops, didn't get it done yet, pick up the phone and call 203-367-7731. Or you can walk in, talk to them. They're so nice and friendly and personable and approachable and professional. They do accounting services, taxation and estate planning, computerized payroll services. They're in Bridgeport, Connecticut on Park Avenue. And again, that number is 203-367-7731. And they have a website as well. I think it's GabrielTax.com. So now that we've thanked the people that make the show possible,
our first guest is
the president and CEO of Mercy Learning Center in Bridgeport. And she's an advocate for so many things. Jan, I'm just going to bring you in. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be with women.
Yeah, see that?
Yes. On empowering women.
And, you know, rather than give you a long introduction, I just would love to have you talk about what you do. And full disclosure, although it's a really good thing, when I was working at a rival radio station years ago, I got involved with Understanding Mercy Learning Center. I think you guys called me to help with a fundraiser. So I came in. Mm-hmm. And I was able to take a tour, and so I've never forgotten it. Every time I pass it, and if you're driving down I-95, when you pass Bridgeport, you will see Mercy Learning Center on the north side of the street. And so tell us a little bit about Mercy Learning Center, what it started as, and, you know, where you've grown to. Tell us what the mission is.
Our mission is to educate women who are undereducated. We started 26 years ago. And it started with on the east side of Bridgeport, really with two educators that realized that the mothers couldn't teach their children. They had first graders, second graders, mm-hmm. and the moms were not able to help their children with homework.
Why?
So they decided, because they were undereducated, they didn't have the ability. So that's where the vision came from. So these two educators started with just two or three women, and from there we went over to the South End where we are now. We have our own building. It's about four stories now. Four stories full of tremendous growth.
Yeah.
What was the building before you took it over?
It was actually St. Anthony's Sacred Heart Catholic School.
Okay.
And we've been able to take over the building, and we've actually renovated it so that now we serve over 800 women. When I first got there, it was probably about 100 women.
Amazing. 100 women and two educators started this whole thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
So now we're at 800 women. We have a staff of 41.
Oh my gosh.
We have over 200 volunteers that help us educate women.
Powerful stuff.
And we really work with those that do not have high school diplomas and those that need English fluency.
That's the thing. I remember, I've never forgotten this visit. And every year I'm like, can I volunteer this year? No, I don't have the time. But, you know, I'll help you with a fundraiser anytime you want. But I remember a few things. I remember touring the building, and you guys were telling me that some of these were women that came from other countries because their husband had work, and maybe they did or didn't have work yet, but their kids would go to school and learn English, and the mother was at home not understanding what her children were saying when she would come home, and how that played into the amount of respect the children had for their mother and just that separateness. So that actually...
Two different worlds.
Yeah, to be, you know... To learn English was such an empowering thing for them. Mm-hmm. I remember coming into your classroom, which I think was the equivalent of fifth grade at that point. And, of course, these are very bright women. It's just they weren't bright in English yet. Listen, I just came from Poland last week, and I had a hint of what it's like to be illiterate because, honestly, I went there unprepared to even know how to say thank you. And I would pass a building, and it's not like a romance language, which is close to English, and I'm like, is that a jail or a university? Like, I had no idea, because if you can't speak the language, it's as good as illiterate. So I remember the women got up standing and reading essays to me that they had written about their lives, and I just thought, what courage and what learning. So when a woman learns English or learns to read, whatever the case is, what does that do for her, and then what does it do for her family?
Well, it's empowering them, their self-esteem, their confidence, their ability to be able to navigate within this community and within our society. We have a 92-year-old woman who was born and raised right here in Bridgeport and just started to read last year, and she's at
Never too late.
Never too late, and she's being tutored by an 80-something-year-old woman who was a retired teacher.
Oh wow, Jim!
So I mean, that's the oldest that we serve.
Sure.
And she's at fifth grade level now. She came in as an illiterate woman, and now she's at fifth grade.
Within
a year, power
Jane,
of education.
Yeah. No, I have a question for you. So now the 88-year-old that's tutoring the 90-plus-year-old woman to read, is the 88-year-old specially trained in reading?
We have a variety of volunteers. So some are retired educators, and some are just folks that just want to help out,
right.
Men and women. So men and women come to tutor, and we give them a good curriculum. We guide them. We give them lots of workshops to help them with the ability to be able to work with our women, and they work one-on-one with our students.
Would that be the same with an ESL tutor? Yes. Somebody volunteers as an ESL tutor? Same thing?
So we have English ESL tutors, adult basic ed, so you're doing math, science, social studies, whatever, going all the way up the ladder so that a pre-GED level and a high school level post, you know.
And you prep them for the GED?
We do. We do. Actually, we have two different tracks for the high school diploma. The GED, which is brand new, January, the brand new GED came out.
Yeah, you mentioned that before we started the program that you're going to talk about the new GED.
It's a new challenge. It's very difficult. It's been aligned with the Common Core, which is nationally now across the country.
So getting a GED in general is different than it used to be.
Yes.
Now there's much more. Yeah, because I know people who, like, 10 years ago got a GED, and I went, really? That's all you had to know?
Well,
so now it's much more aligned with the Common Core. And so,
well, the Common Core is very new to the state. GED, I taught GED years back, and GED is very challenging to begin with.
Absolutely.
And I was sharing with you, Jane, the statistics where 80% of most high school graduates cannot pass the GED. It's very challenging.
Really?
But now that it's in line with the Common Core, which is a new program to the state, it's, you know, even more so.
Okay.
But not impossible, but yes.
It's much more challenging. And for an English language learner, which most of our women take the GED in English. So they may be from our 51 different countries that we're from.
51 different countries represented at Mercy Learning Center?
That's wonderful.
Over 50 languages.
You represent the world, Jane.
I know. We are a little world there.
Yes.
But if you can imagine
impressive.
Someone that doesn't speak English being able to pass the GED now in English, for me, that is like the ultimate worker. I want to hire you because you not only learned a second language, but you were able to be successful
overcome.
In this language.
Yes. Overcome.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
What
a
challenge.
So it's, you know, once they learn to read, that's just the beginning. You go up to GED, and I remember reading in the paper that there some of your students have gone on to take college courses.
Over, we have we started the GED class. First when I got there, it was like first to eighth grade, basically, or illiterate women to eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then realizing the community around here really needed some daytime GED preparation classes, we started to have daytime classes for women. So since 2003, we've had the GED at Mercy Learning Center, and we've graduated approximately 197 women.
Oh, my God. Jane, you must be so proud of 50% yourself.
50% have gone on to college. This year, we got our first bachelor's degree. From my time,
right.
For the past 12 years.
Wow.
First bachelor's in psychology.
Oh, my goodness.
We have a couple of students at UConn, one at Gateway.
That is powerful.
All around.
Now, do you tend to...
Congratulations.
Offer, do you tend to... Because you just mentioned if they overcome so much, what great employees for you. Do you employ...
We have a job counselor and a college counselor.
Oh, you do. You have like a career center...
We have a career center. It's very holistic there. So not only are you being educated, we have a caseworker that can help you with domestic violence, immigration issues, marital issues, whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a college career counselor. So it's helping you with a job or also getting you into the community colleges with hopefully some scholarship aid. So we're really enforcing that.
So it's
really
educating the whole person.
The whole woman.
The whole woman.
I'll tell you what else, another image I always remember looking out the window, and you had a daycare center at the time, which you just told me off the air has been expanded, but at the time, and I remember seeing all these little adorable kids from different nationalities dressed in different outfits, and they were all holding hands like on their way to a field trip.
It's a small world.
It was like a living, it's a small world. I was, and they looked so happy. So the women not only could come and get educated, but their little children were being taken care of. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, it's like two generations being educated, same place, with the same kind of environment, which is very holistic, compassionate, warm. So we take children 3 months old of the moms that are in our program. So the women that come full time, which is regular school, 9 to 2, their kids are in our program. So we have 5 hours of education for them, and they're learning all the basics, developmental skills to get ready for kindergarten. And they have a mother toddler reading program. So we teach the mothers how to read to their children, because a lot of women that are born in other countries, they never have that kind of experience of parenting in that way, where you're going to read at night and have a bedtime schedule. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our own native-born students didn't have the parents. Broken homes, different issues in their family life, personal issues, that a lot of our own kids, 17, 18, 19 years old, coming right from the city, never were read to.
Wow.
I have women that were born right here, native U.S.-born kids.
I was going to say,
it's
common among
so
many.
Life skills, for that matter.
So life skills is part of...
They don't have that life skill because they didn't have parents, or, one parent was incarcerated, or whatever the situation happened. So even though you're dealing with two different groups of folks in some ways, those that are native-born and those that are immigrating here, we have so much similarities as far as needs and
human nature. Human needs.
Yeah.
Right.
What happens in terms of community among the students? Now, you serve 800 women, so I imagine it's not, that they're a fact. But do you find friendships form? Support happens? I know when women get together, support happens.
Right, hello.
But,
look at our group.
But you've got women from such diverse backgrounds. Tell us about that.
I think the common language is English, which makes them all have to speak English. But they, for the first time in their lives, they start to have women friends.
Really?
They've never been able to have friendships because they've come either to this country and live in a small apartment and are afraid to go out.
Right,
So the first time they're able to have a woman friend, and they really count on each other. And they have those conversations that you'd have as women, and how to raise your kids or what's going on with their husband or what.
Do you have any social events coming up at your center that will extend that socialization of the women that...
We have an ongoing kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Okay, which is always...
We'll be coming because
tea,
I love to eat.
Tea, coffee, and refreshments. And that's where it all happens, with even the tutors and their students coming up for a cup of coffee, joining with a classroom. And
I'll be down, Jane.
Okay.
I'll be down at your center.
It's Hospitality Plus there. Yes, but all the conversations happen in our kitchen.
Everything happens in the kitchen.
Over food. It's true. Over food, yes.
All right. We'll be right back and talk more with Jane Ferreira of the Mercy Learning Center. I want to find out what the NEDP program is and maybe just take us through a fictitious student's experience from start to finish with Mercy Learning Center. You're listening to The Life Talk Show.
Got your taxes ready? Call Gabriel Tax and Accounting to schedule an appointment now at 203-367-7731. Gabriel Tax and Accounting, located in Bridgeport, has been serving the community for over 65 years. Get your taxes done at a better rate than any storefront. And remember, Gabriel Tax and Accounting is open year-round to serve all your accounting needs. Call Gabriel Tax and Accounting at 203-367-7731 for your peace of mind. Or visit GabrielTax.com. The Life Talk Show is sponsored by Dynamic Printing at 91 Main Street in Monroe, Connecticut. It's internet competitive prices with a storefront you can walk into. At Dynamic Printing, all your needs can be met. Everything from business cards to booklets and catalogs with that honest and friendly personal service.
Gabriel Tax and Accounting, this is the time to go to them for accounting services. For your taxes, April 15th is just around the corner. They're in Bridgeport, Connecticut. They're on Park Avenue. They're fabulous and so nice and so knowledgeable. They do taxation and estate planning, computerized payroll services, accounting services. They're on Park Avenue in Bridgeport. You can call 367-7731 or go to GabrielTax.com. Do it now. Get your taxes done. You'll feel so good. Gabriel Tax and Accounting. Thank you for sponsoring the Life Talk Show. And we're back with Jane Ferreira of Mercy Learning Center in Bridgeport. In a moment, we're going to bring in another guest from my sister's place. And Kathy Shaw is hanging on the line right now. We're going to hear more about that. Today's theme is about empowering women and girls. So Mercy Learning Center started by two educators 12 years ago to serve three young mothers and has grown to a program with 800 people in there. So we were talking about your new GED program, but I'd also like to know, what is the NEDP program? What's that?
It's called a National External Diploma Program, and it's an opportunity, a different track. In the state of Connecticut, you go to high school, get your diploma, mm-hmm. take the GED, go to night school, get a credit diploma. And the fourth way is this new, really not new, it's been out there for about 12, 14 years, but it's a national program. Mercy picked it up in 2008. So the state asked us to bring this into Bridgeport, and it is a different track. It takes your life experience. So suppose you're working...
And you get credit for your life experience?
You have to actually go through 8 units of education, and you do this on your own. It's a computer online program. So actually the women come into the center, they can work on our computer systems, or they can work at home, but they're done assessors orally assessed each week by a tester on the units that you accomplish. So you might be doing things, I know you're an interior designer.
Yes.
So Diana, somebody might be saying, what is square foot of this house for
sure.
rugs and for curtains? So they do mathematical problems for that, and they have to do that on computer, all the research done mathematically, and then an assessor will give you an oral exam. So it's 100 percentile. So you can't pass out of the program. The minimum length is about a good 5 months to go through it if you're really diligent at it.
Wow.
Normally it's 6 to 8 months before a woman could pass it, but it just brings all your life experience, your educational background, your work experience.
Is that the equivalent of GED or is AF plus the GED?
No, it's equivalent.
It's
a high school equivalency.
Okay.
A diploma from the state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Diana has a question, and then I have one more, and then we're going to bring in Jane and hang around because you and Jane might want to talk to each other too.
So yes. Then. Well, we were just talking about Randy, how people you want to help, but you don't have necessarily a lot of time to do that, and there's a lot of opportunities to volunteer. But can you talk a little bit about Run a Drive? Groups that might be able to help out in one large dose.
Okay, great. Any organization that wants to do a diaper drive for us, we can always use diapers. And I tell you, size 4, 5, and 6 are the most popular sizes
right,
of diapers.
Sure.
We have a food pantry. So a food pantry would be always helpful.
Oh, you have a food pantry,
yes.
too. Wow.
We make sure that nobody goes home hungry. Obviously, most of our women, 99%, are at or below poverty. So nobody goes home hungry. So we provide that. Another type of drive is school supplies.
Sure.
If we don't have to buy pencils, pads, or notebooks, that just allows me to buy more textbooks for everybody. So those are drives that if it's a Boy Scout troop, a Girl Scout troop, anybody could do something like that.
And do you have a wish list like that on your website?
I do.
And what's the website?
www.mercylearningcenter.org.
How creative. That's right. It's a .org, everybody. So no, org. it's a .org. Mercylearningcenter.org. Mm-hmm. One more last question. And, of course, I think you could answer this in a half an hour. I'm going to ask you to answer it in about 2 minutes if you can. So if you could take your sort of a model fictitious student and just talk about her experience from start to finish and focus on how empowering her, what changes it makes in her family.
Okay. This is a real story.
Okay.
Juana. Mm-hmm. We'll go with Juana, which means Jane, but it's Juana. She came in from Mexico. She came to us about 6 years ago, did not speak an ounce of English, and went to third grade in her country. She started with English as a second language, went through adult basic ed, two levels, went into the GED class, probably was there for 13 months in our GED class, full time. She worked at night, and she had three children, one of which was in our child care. The other two boys were already in elementary school. Every summer, her oldest son would come to the center to volunteer, starting when he was in sixth grade, to clean floors, to thank me for his mother's education. Goodness. Every summer, he showed up, okay? And I'll tell you more about him, but so he's coming and he does floors. He works with the children or whatever.
How old?
He started in sixth grade.
Sixth grade.
Wow.
His younger sister that was born went to our child care and she got her GED. She went on, and this is in English. She got her GED in English. So from Spanish and English now. She went to Housatonic Community College, got a full-time job as an early childhood educator. Got her certificate in early childhood education.
My goodness.
Her son graduates and gets a full scholarship to Fairfield University.
Oh, wow.
He still comes in. I just saw him last week. This is their oldest child. He's going to graduate with a computer engineering degree.
Oh, my gosh.
And he and his mother, and this is how she said she learned English, we would do dishes together, and for 2 hours every night, he and I would speak only in English. And
immersion.
He
immersion.
That
immersion. Is powerful stuff.
But they did it together.
They did it together.
They did it together.
And he still comes every summer to help me.
That's amazing.
Senior, he's going to graduate. He's got a great job. The second child is full scholarship at UConn.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
My God.
And
what
a story. The youngest girl is a good student. She's only in third grade right now, but wonderful.
Oh, Jane, yeah. What a story.
Kids wow.
Back. Wow.
Thank you so much. So stick around, Jane. There's so much. Again, it's Mercy Learning Center. MercyLearningCenter.org is the website. And we're talking on the Life Talk Show about empowering women and girls. Our next guest does the same thing. She is the Vice President of Programs and Operations at My Sister's Place in Hartford, Connecticut. Kathy Shaw, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been our pleasure.
Kathy. Welcome, Kathy.
So,
listening to you, like I'm on the line with my friends.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful.
That's the whole feel of
yes,
the show.
Absolutely.
If it, you know, if we had coffee or tea or
the
you
kitchen
know, cookies,
is missing,
it'd be
yeah.
even better.
Well, next time we meet in the kitchen.
Absolutely.
So, talk to us about My Sister's Place. Who are the people that you serve? What do you do there?
Well, let me tell you, we have been around since 1982. Really serving women and families and others in the north end of Hartford. And interestingly enough, our mission is that we are committed to ending homelessness and empowering women and families. So we fit perfectly into what you're talking about today. We're really hoping to help folks achieve independence and stability, you know, not only for themselves, but for the communities that they're living in. And we really do this by providing housing and support services. We have a myriad of programs that we try and accomplish this by. We have supportive housing for single adults. We have 30 units in that building. We have another supportive housing program where we're serving 34 families, which is absolutely huge. There's not a lot of supportive housing for families that families can actually all live together. And we have a wonderful program called the Transitional Living Program that we serve 18 women and children. They all have their own separate apartments, and this is a program that lasts up to 2 years. And I have to say it's actually my favorite program that we do. We actually see a lot of wonderful results, and everyone really tries to meet their goals of moving on after 2 years and really going into permanent housing.
That's great. What's the name My Sister's Place? Where did that originate?
It originated back when we were actually in the inception in 1982, when a lot of social service organizations came together. Some of them were some of the Sisters of St. Joseph, Sisters of Mercy.
Oh, wow.
All came together, and really they figured out that there's lots of programs serving homeless men, but there's nothing there to address, you know, women and children. And that's really how My Sister's Place was born. We were able to come together and say, you know what, there's got to be a place for them. And we actually opened up a shelter, actually at that time, for women and children only. And our shelter actually remained in business for about 25, 26 years.
Wow, you should see all the nodding heads around the table, like Jane's nodding her head.
Yeah, that's powerful stuff. Kathy, a question. How do you get to My Sister's Place? How do people find you?
Well, interestingly enough, in the greater Hartford area, we have a great network of providers, and there's a lot of referrals that go on. And we had a lot of referrals from the other shelters in the area. And more importantly, I think there's a lot of word of mouth. People know that when you come to My Sister's Place, we are going to try and help you in whatever way we can. Mm-hmm. And it's really critical that people feel welcomed when they come to us, because our goal is really to show them what hope looks like. And when we can do that, we know that we are going to be successful. And people, when they are able to come through a program and work with us and work with our wonderful staff and our volunteers and our board, really have a feeling of accomplishment. And they tell other people, and they're like, hey, they can help you over there at My Sister's Place. So we kind of have that reputation.
Kathy, I think you just had a gala just recently.
Did.
Do you want to talk about the gala a little bit?
Oh, we did. We had a gala held at the Marriott, and it was really...
Well, which Marriott? In Hartford?
Marriott in Hartford.
Okay.
there are so many of them.
Yes.
And it was really simple things make a difference. That was the whole theme. That, you know, a simple thing like we do a back-to-school picnic in August, and what we do is make sure that all the children have a new pair of sneakers to go back to school with, and we try and purchase a uniform because schools now have lots of uniforms, so that they have that on their first day of school, so they can feel like they're going, we're supporting them, their moms are supporting them, that they want them to have a good school year. Because we also, you know, as Jane was talking about, we feel education is huge and important, not only for the moms, but for our kids that are in our care. And right now we have about 86 of them on a daily basis that we try and provide educational and social and recreational activities for. So people came to the gala with this great expectation, and I think it was met, that they were convinced how wonderful our programs are. We even had two paintings done by our children of trees with leaves, and all the leaves were the thumbprints of our children in our programs. And we auctioned them off, and we had, you know, great donors purchase them and really want to give back, knowing about the good work that we do.
So these events like the gala or the picnic probably, I'm sure, help to support. But like when we were just talking to Jane about outside groups donating, are you also looking for donations in that regard?
Oh, you have a wish
or
list?
Or fundraising?
Yeah.
We do. We do definitely have a wish list. It's on our website.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things that I think we really look for are really unrestricted dollars and things like bus tokens. Bus tokens are really important for our women. It's really hard.
Jane is nodding.
Yes.
Bus tokens, very important.
Struggle for so long, you know, and come up, some of the things that we've been able to do before I get into why we need bus tokens is that we have a wonderful development department who has really gone and got some grants for us so that we can be able to pay for some driver's lessons for folks because they don't have driver's licenses.
Well, the things we take for granted, diapers, bus tokens, driving lessons.
That's
one thing. That's
paper towels.
That, right.
You know, we go through a lot of paper towels, diapers. We also have a food pantry. The same types of things that, you know, Jane was mentioning, we also have the same need for. And I think, you know, people another provider such as us also do. But I think bus tokens for us right now is one of the things that keeps coming up. I'm like, oh, I wish I had more bus tokens to be able to give them so they can not only take their kids to daycare, get themselves to an interview, maybe get themselves to a job, go back and pick up their kids. And they're all doing this, you know, they're in, and this has been a terrible winter. You know, they're pushing their baby carriages through the snow. So it's difficult enough.
Right,
so whatever we can do to try and, you know, give them a hand up, not a handout, is what we want to try and do.
That's so, absolutely great. I'll tell you, when we come back, I would like to ask you also for sort of a fictitious composite student story, or maybe you have a real story like Jane did to tell us. And then I'm going to talk to both of you, both to Jane and Kathy. I love... We show them what hope looks like. I just love that. So think on that, and we'll be right back with Kathy Shaw and Jane Ferreira talking about empowering women and girls. This is The Life Talk Show.
The Life Talk Show is sponsored by Dynamic Printing at 91 Main Street in Monroe, Connecticut. It's internet competitive prices with a storefront you can walk into. At Dynamic Printing, all your needs can be met. Everything from business cards to booklets and catalogs with that honest and friendly personal service they've been providing since 1994. Local or shipping anywhere. You can call them at 203-459-8762 or simply visit dynamicprinter.com. Dynamic Printing is flexible and they'll help you with the research and advice you need so that your printing needs match your business goals. They're flexible and they're right there in person. Again, it's internet competitive prices with a storefront you can walk into. Visit dynamicprinter.com for more information or call 203-459-8762. Dynamic Printing, a proud sponsor of The Life Talk Show. Got your taxes ready? Call Gabriel Tax and Accounting to schedule an appointment now at 203-367-7731. Gabriel Tax and Accounting, located in Bridgeport, has been serving the community for over 65 years. Get your taxes done at a better rate than any storefront. And remember, Gabriel Tax and Accounting is open year-round to serve all your accounting needs. Call Gabriel Tax and Accounting at 203-367-7731 for your peace of mind. Or visit GabrielTax.com.
And we're back with The Life Talk Show talking about empowering women and girls because it is Women's Month. This is March. We're talking with Kathy Shaw, Vice President of Programs and Operations at My Sister's Place in Hartford, Connecticut, and Jane Ferreira from the Mercy Learning Center in Bridgeport. So, Kathy, if do you have a one-person story or like composite student story of someone who came to you, where they were before your program and where they went to during and after your program and how it impacted their whole family?
Well, I do have a story. It's a story actually that our executive director tells on quite a number of occasions. It's a story about a woman who came to us and came to our transitional living program. Criteria, obviously, for us is that she was homeless. She had two children, and the reason that she was homeless is that she was a victim of domestic violence, and she had been fleeing from her husband. And she came to us. It was near Christmas time, and she had a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, and the 6-year-old little boy was talking to our executive director as Mom was filling out the paperwork and getting her first keys to her apartment. Which is a huge deal for many of the women who come to us. They can actually lock the door behind them and feel safe.
Wow.
And the little boy said to our executive director, ma'am, it's almost Christmas time. And she said, yes, honey, I know. And he said, well, I don't know what's going to happen. She goes, well, what do you mean? And he said, is Santa Claus going to know where I live? You know, and that's just very telling of the women and the kids come to us. There's another real quick story that we had a mom just recently move into our transitional living program. I think a 7-year-old girl and I think an 11-year-old girl. And our assistant program director was showing them, you know, where their mailbox was and giving the mom the mailbox key. And the 7-year-old girl kept pulling on, you know, the assistant program director's leg and saying, miss. She's like, yes, honey, what can I do for you? And she goes, Mommy said that we're going to have a home tonight.
Wow.
That was a really powerful kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
About children and how it affects, you know, generational kinds of things. And so when they come to us, and the first lady I was talking to you about, she moved on to permanent housing. She got a job, you know, stayed with us for the 2 years, moved on. She's doing great. You know, that's what we want for people.
Yeah. Kathy, a quick question. How do you support independence? Because one of your beautiful messages here, ending homelessness, supporting independence, transforming lives. Tell us how you approach the independence part.
Right. So one of the big things that we do is life skills. We feel that that just provides an array of services, an array of teaching and educational things that allow folks to face what brought them to homelessness and then work on it, and so that they won't have to face those barriers again. So our life skills group encompass finance, budgeting, how to keep an apartment, what are your tenants' rights, facing domestic violence issues, support groups. We do case management stuff. There's lots of things that we put together that we feel actually work.
And help.
And mm-hmm. get them to be where they want to be.
Jane, do you find that, you know, it sounds very similar to the types of things that you do there in terms of life skills? Are those the kinds of things? I mean, I know it's obviously a big literacy and English as a second language program, but what Kathy's talking about, are those the life skills you guys address
too?
Definitely.
I mean, we're working with health literacy. We find that if you don't know where to go, the ER room is not the place to go. Start with the clinics and the doctors. So we do health literacy, a lot of financial literacy, mm-hmm. how to budget once you get a job.
Can you just explain why, you know, most people would, you know, who can't afford would go to the ER, but why would you, why is that something that's important?
If you don't have insurance, mm-hmm. And if you don't have regular doctors, which is really hard for the poor, then you automatically go to the ER room.
Sure.
I mean, because you feel that that's the safest place to go. We're just trying to teach women, start with your clinics. When it is really, the clinic will tell you whether to go to the ER. And it saves everyone money.
Absolutely, that's
especially,
right.
You know, all of us that are working within a community, but we start there. So if you can educate them, they don't want to spend money. They don't want, but if your child is sick.
Where would you go?
Yeah, right. So they go right to the ER. We're saying, no, start with a clinic, unless it's a weekend. But mm-hmm. there are also weekend clinics now, which is a great blessing for many of our women.
That's and as really Kathy mentioned, that do financial education, like banking.
We do banking, we do financial, cooking classes, nutritional classes, mm-hmm. very holistic. Also, as driver's ed.
Right. Yeah.
We do all of that. So that when a woman leaves the center, they should be really fully alive, fully able to be able to navigate whatever system, the school system, the medical system, financial banking system.
Do you provide support? This question is both for Kathy and Jane. Do you provide support once they leave the center, once they are on their own? Can they come back? Do they have somebody that it's kind of like their mentor? Do you provide something?
Yeah, let's start with Kathy,
like
and then we'll have Jane.
Yes.
Kathy, you told me about the beginning of the process when the child gets a home, but, you know, what happens as they graduate? Are there support services that they can come back to?
I have to say that many, many of our women come back. They tell us how well they're doing, or they tell us, you know, what kind of help they might need. We actually do have a lot of women come back. We don't have a formal program that follows them, but because of the relationship with most of my staff, they do come back, and we can help them out if they need anything. But again, because they have been successful, mm-hmm. because they've had that little bridge, mm-hmm. a lot of the folks remain pretty stable.
Yeah,
are contributing members to society and to their families.
And that makes such a difference when you have a family with a mother who feels like a victim. Or a mother who feels powerless because she can't speak English or she can't read. And, you know, some of these families, by the way, I know at Mercy Learning Center, you do serve families where the husbands are very involved. They just don't know how to help their wives, or they're working under a cultural norm that means the woman isn't supposed to be empowered. And here they are in America, and, you know, it's very different. So it's not, they're not always husbandless women, mm-hmm. but they still need to empower themselves whether or not they have, you know, a family with two parents. Mm-hmm. And there's many different situations, I'm mm-hmm. sure. But a family that centers around a mother wife, woman who feels empowered must be a very different family dynamic from one that centers around a woman who feels powerless and like a victim. And it sounds like, you know, that empowerment works. And Jane, anything?
Well, at graduation, many times we do family literacy. So we are trying to engage our husbands or our significant partners with our women. But when we do a recognition reception each year, which is sort of a graduation, the husbands will come over with tears in their eyes saying, thank you for what you've done for my wife and what you've done for my children, because now my family is moving forward and I know they are. So many, many times it's a change, a sea change for the family, that they're able to now start to live a life that's more secure, more independent. So they're very grateful. I have men that first come and check Mercy out. First day of registration.
Make sure the wife
they're
is okay.
There, yeah. Making sure that nothing's going to happen, you know. And they're there like, I want to see everything. I want to see where the children are going to be.
Right.
We're fine with that,
that's,
you know.
Yeah. Sure. Especially if you represent 61 countries, you mentioned.
Right.
So you don't
Absolutely.
Know the culture and you know how they feel protective.
Culture is very important.
Very.
And even if we don't. Sometimes we can't even speak to the husbands or in that language that they're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of gesturing,
yeah.
And it's just a lot of kindness. And that's what you're able to...
A lot of smiling.
Yeah,
right.
And teach how, this is where your child's going to be. This is how safe. Please come in anytime, you know.
That's great.
But that's what I think when they see what's happening. And then there's always a thing, when are you going to start a place for us?
Right.
I said, that's on my wish list.
There you go. And Kathy, what do you have to say in that vein?
I have to agree with what Jane said. I think, you know, it makes a difference in how they become empowered and how they feel they can create their own independence. And once you achieve that, the difference in their affect, their difference in their presentation, their difference in their dealings with their children, it's sparkling, the change that you can see.
Right. That's amazing. I mean, you have something on your website that says a world of respect starts today and starts with me. That's just speaking right to that. That's amazing. And you said it all when you said it's not a handout, it's a hand up. And sometimes we take the littlest things for granted. Jane, you had a story you were telling us during break about a stroller.
Yes.
Tell us about
my
that.
First few months at Mercy Learning Center, we get donations of strollers, which is another wish list item. But this young girl came in and wanted a stroller. We passed it out. And about 3 months later, she showed up again asking for another stroller. And I really questioned her and said, you know, I just gave you one 3 months ago. And she says, but miss, it's really worn down. And I said, but it has plastic wheels. It can't wear out. These things have. And she goes, no, miss, my wheels are not there anymore. And I went over to the stroller and it was down to the little rim. And
Wow. The
light bulb went off in my head saying, oh, my God, they use this stroller for everything. How many miles has this stroller been in rain, sleet, and snow? This stroller is what puts the groceries, the child, their books, and whatever else they're carrying. It's amazing.
The wheels of the car.
You know, that prompts another question that just been on my mind. And, you know, we talk about educating the woman, but I guess we have to start with the womb and prenatal care, which is something that you really cannot overlook. Women in poverty, you know, it shows that they don't get enough iodine, and that affects the development of the fetus and their brain development, and essentially, women of poverty who don't have enough iodine or iodized salt in their diet, the fetus, IQ levels actually drop 15 points. So that's just a small statistic of women of poverty carrying a child with child. So do you focus, and this question is for
prenatal.
Jane and Kathy, focus on prenatal care?
We actually have, we're so fortunate. We have volunteers from everywhere. We have a midwife that comes in once a month from the city.
Wow.
She's terrific.
Good
she
stuff.
Does educational, gynecological OB stuff for all our women. And then we have a weekly nurse that comes in. And then the graduate schools, both Fairfield Nursing School and Sacred Heart Nursing School, come in and help us. So we are very fortunate to have
lots of organized.
And so prenatal care it doesn't happen all there, but it starts with us, and we get them to the clinics that are working with our women. So,
and knowledge is power, and I think absolutely. Once you get to them realize what Diana said about the iodine and
right.
the levels.
Iodized salt is pennies, and
right.
And how different it can make.
So it's, yeah.
How much it matters.
Definitely. And all these angles that, again, it just keeps coming back to me, things I never thought about. Kathy, what about you?
I was just thinking about that I should have been tracking all these years how many babies we've actually had been born.
Jane is laughing.
We do track that, but it's hard.
Right. I'm like, I have to really, God. You know, because I just add them to my statistics. I'm like... But, yes, we have great relationships with our St. Francis Hospital there in Hartford, Community Health Services. We actually have a whole empowerment group that St. Francis comes and does now, working with women and their health issues and focusing on any prenatal care that's needed. UConn Pediatric Center actually comes twice a month to us, so moms who have questions, you know, can bring their kids, you know, or questions about any prenatal stuff. So we actually are very fortunate as well as Jane is in having those resources. Because if you don't have that kind of connection, you know, in the community, then you do have moms going to the emergency room all the time. So I think it's a great thing.
You know, the world is a really confusing place these days. It's not, it's just confusing, especially when you're entering an arena that you don't know that much about. And for some people, having never been taught to cook, it's cooking. Yeah. How do you put a meal together? For other people, it's, and I know from my own kids, how do I balance my check? Like, they don't have to. They yeah. rely on everything. So there's so much, and it's what I keep hearing from both of you is if someone just shows you, like you said,
shows you how,
and shows what hope looks like and what I'm hearing and how to get there.
Right.
It's just that teaching element. So it's not feeling like they're being helped by being given stuff, but being given knowledge. Like you said, Nikki,
education,
knowledge is
yeah.
power.
Yeah.
Do you guys have waiting lists? Do you have people that you have to turn away, Jane?
Yes, we do.
You
unfortunately,
do?
Yes. We don't advertise in the city. There's 37,000 functionally illiterate females in the city of Bridgeport, and I can only take 800 a year.
That's overwhelming.
Yeah. So it's overwhelming. We take women in August and in January, so each semester.
So that's when your enrollment.
Right. Now, if an agency calls me and says I have a really difficult situation, then we will make room. I always will make room for a difficult situation, but in general, we have to shut the doors at some point.
Yeah. And what, do you have just a small little bit of criteria that you could share you determine?
It's just a matter of first come, first serve.
Okay.
And we open for a week. Of August, we take 10 days of registration. And in January, it's 5 days. And whoever comes in those days, we'll do our best to take. And then after that, we'll say no until the next semester.
Right. So, people coming back again and again, hoping
yeah.
to get in.
Yes. Yeah. And it's a child care situation, too.
So
we don't have enough child care.
Absolutely.
You know? And the city doesn't. So sometimes you can't take them because we don't have enough childcare spaces, so they and we don't have babysitters out there that you know to provide. So.
I am
so
assuming that your services, Jane, are free.
Yes,
free of charge. And so, Kathy, that you guys do not charge anything. And can you tell us for a few minutes what is your wish list moving forward?
Right, like, and also I just want to know if you have a waiting list as well.
A waiting
I'll give you
list.
A chance to answer that question,
Kathy.
Sure. Well, just to put things in perspective. In Connecticut, we have about maybe 33,000 people a year who are homeless, and 13,000 of those are children. So there's not one agency that can serve all of those no. folks. So we definitely do have waiting lists for the apartments and the services. We don't charge for our services. However, when you're living in an apartment, you do have to pay 30% of whatever your income is. And if it's nothing, then it's 30% of nothing until you do have some income. And I think one of the things that, just to tap on what we were talking about a little earlier, is that, you know, it's also showing people the possibility of what could be in terms of their own lives, because many of the women who come to us, you know, all they've known is, you know, maybe they've grown up in foster care, and then they got into a domestic violence situation. And then they got pregnant, and now they have a child of their own, and they're just trying to figure out, well, you know, is the next thing going to be someone's going to take my child away? Mm-hmm. Or how mm-hmm. can I be better in terms of raising my child? What kind of life can I give them? And I just think it's so important for people to realize that if you give someone a chance, then it makes all the difference in the world to them. And I don't like some of the negative attitudes sometimes about folks who are homeless. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to kind of bring that up because I just think it's so important that people actually care about the human, you know, human beings, and everyone is a human being. And if you see someone who is homeless, they deserve a smile just as much as the next person.
That's amazing, which brings me, actually, those are perfect parting words, but you didn't know they were, so I'll give you another chance. But we have about a minute left, and so I'd like to just go around, and I'll start with you, Jane, and then Kathy, and then Diane and Nikki and I will. We usually have like 10-second things. But if you wanted to leave the listener with one final thought, including your website and how they can help, you know, or a piece of advice, what would that be, Jane?
The women that are at Mercy Learning Center are truly grateful. So the idea that people do not appreciate the generosity of other people, I like to erase that because I've never seen such grateful folks who have never had the opportunity to have some of the things that we have taken for granted. But they are very, very grateful.
That's amazing. So, and it sounds like they pay it forward by coming back and helping, too. Helping, so that's the best kind of gratitude.
And making sure their children are being educated, which is their responsibility. So
excellent. Kathy?
I'll just end on what our gala theme was in terms of simple things really do make a difference. And any little thing that you can do for another person, maybe, you know, not very much to you, but to them, it's the world.
That's great. I have a quote that I just like. It's Oprah Winfrey said it, but that's okay. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. The ability to triumph begins with you, always. And I will add, and people are here to help each other. That's Randy Kay quote. Diana?
And in honor of Women's Month, we're all women, whether we're women of poverty or wealth or whatever we are. And the bottom line is to love yourself and others will love you. So if you want to meet the love of your life, look in the mirror, says Byron Katie.
Okay. And wow.
Nikki? I'm going to quote from Malala, the girl that from the Taliban, she was shot and she became like a celebrity overnight. From some ironic kind of way. She says, "We believe one child, one teacher, one book, and one pen can change the world." Malala Yousafzai, UN 61213, from the book Malala.
Okay, thank you so much. This has been the Life Talk Show, talking about empowering women and children. We thank our guests, Jane Ferreira and Kathy Shaw. I'm Randy Kay with Diana Hall, Nikki Tombolides. Thank you so much for listening to the Life Talk Show. And thanks again to our sponsors for today, Dynamic Printing and Gabriel Tax and Accounting. You've been listening to The Life Talk Show on WDJZ AM. If you have an idea for a future topic, would like to be a guest or a sponsor of our show, or just tell us what you think, please email us at info@thelifetalkshow.com. Our Twitter handle is @LifeTalkShow, and our Facebook page is The Life Talk Show. Sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success. The Life Talk Show with Randy, Diana, and Nikki on WDJZ AM. Every Saturday at 4, The Life Talk Show. Join us.